So the first part of the reading is Psalm 21, and it's verses 1 to 7 as the first part. O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. This is the word of the Lord.
Boys and girls, grown-ups, I don't know if anyone else spotted this. It seems to me lots of people are not having a very happy Christmas this year. We feel that it's just a little bit tougher than normal, isn't it? So my mum is watching through Zoom, and there's a sense in which that's as close as we're going to get this Christmas. Not able to see her. There's a sadness of not being able to see family and friends. For other people, there's just the claustrophobia of not being able to get away from family. I mean, we're trapped in this bubble and we can't get out. For others, we're not able to get to canto, we're not able to sing carols. And you know, I have this horrible feeling that whatever happens with Brexit, we are still going to have to eat Brussels sprouts at Christmas. And you don't need me to say there are lots of things that are just a bit sad this year, especially the Brussels sprouts. But what I want us to see this morning is that God's king is a happy king. God's king is a happy king, and it's not that he's happy while we're sad. He just doesn't mind. He is happy in a way that has the power to make us happy if we understand what's going on. So we're going to start looking at Psalm 21, seeing what this king is like, and it's like he's having the best Christmas day ever. So I don't know, has anyone made a Christmas list this year? Anyone made a Christmas list? The thing I've noticed about Christmas lists, Matthew's very excited about it. Yeah, so Matthew's so excited about it, he's jumping up and down. He's got an exciting list. The thing I've noticed about Christmas lists is they get more boring as you get older. Like, you know, when you're younger, you should put cool things on there. Like, thinking like genuinely, we put socks and slippers on our Christmas lists. Like, how old is that? No one under 18 puts socks and slippers on their Christmas lists, do they? But this king has got an exciting list. He's asked God for something, and God has given it to him. Oh Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You've granted him the desire of his heart. He's done what he's always wanted. Let's see what it was that he wanted. And I need a couple of volunteers. I need a couple of people who are very strong. Joseph, would you like to come and help pull a cracker? You pull a cracker for me? No worries at all. Would any of you, Ben and Matthew, do you want to come up? Right. Now, we need to make sure we pull this cracker. Just pulling a cracker, that is so 2019. We're not doing that. We're going to do it in a COVID secure way. Sorry, Joseph.
I thought you said Joseph.
Oh, sorry, Joseph. I beg your pardon, Joseph. I'm so sorry.
Joseph. Oh, Joseph.
I'm sorry. Joseph, we'll find. We've got plenty of influence. Okay, so we're going to try. Joseph, I'm so sorry about that. Okay, so pulling a cracker is 2019. So we've got to grab it there. We've got to do this, practice this, but doing it in a COVID safe way. Okay, so we're going to do that. There we go. We got that. Okay. Nearly. Really good. Are you going to, Jess, you're going to help as well there? Okay. Do you want to give that a good grip? We might need a bit of help there. Do you want to hold that on nice and tight? There we go. Oh, we got that. Happy days. Brilliant. Thank you. Guys, you're welcome to take a seat. We might need you back up here in a minute. Should we see what's in here? Oh, how exciting. We've got a crown. Would someone be happy to wear a crown for me?
No.
No one's happy? Okay. Oh, Joseph, you are. Thank you. There we go. There's your crown. So this is our king, King Dave the Brave. Joseph, do you want to come and stand here for a minute? That's very helpful. Thank you. If we put the grabbers down for a minute. Because the king has got a crown. Verse 3, you welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. Now, I don't know what, I can't predict what colour crown I'll get in my cracker on Christmas Day. I can predict it won't last till pudding. But the king in Psalm 21 has a crown of gold. This is going to last. It's an enduring crown. It's going to go on forever and ever. Verse 4, he asked you for life, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Which is strange, because King David is not alive today. He died 3,000 years ago. So how can he say he's going to live forever? That's a puzzle. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you've granted him eternal blessings. They're going to go on forever. Made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. It's another puzzle, isn't it? Because David didn't always trust in the Lord. We'll come back to that. Okay, now the king here is doing a great job. He's a good king. He is David the Brave. He is wise. He is good. He does love the Lord. And he fights them against the king's enemies. Now, we need some enemies. Would someone be happy to come up and be an enemy for us?
Me.
Okay, Matthew, you're going to come back up and be an enemy. All right. This is... Matthew, do you want to come here? And we'll just make sure everyone in Zoom world can see you. There we go. Okay, there you are. And... we need to give you because you are now Phil the Philistine. And if you say that quickly enough, it sounds like a filthy Philistine. There we go. There's Phil the Philistine. And he's going to battle against Dave the Brave. And again, COVID secure way. So you've got a meter rule. So you need to make sure you are at least 2 meters apart. There we go. Phil, do you want to be over there? Okay. Now, I hope we're all very excited. We're on the edge of our seats. This is the classic good against evil battle. And we're wondering who's going to win. Is it going to be the bad king or the good king? Now, the thing is, just wait before you have this battle, because this is not just about the two of them. Something bigger is at stake. Because lined up behind the king are some people who are so small that in Zoom world and on Facebook world, you can hardly even see them. These are the king's people, the good king's people. And they have all kinds of issues, all kinds of battles, all kinds of things in their life that they're scared about, they're worried about. But none of it matters as much as what happens to the good king. Because if the good king wins, they're safe, they're free, they can live their lives happily, joyfully. They can go on serving him. If the bad king wins, terrible things are going to happen. They will be crushed and the bad king's armies will come through. They will be his slaves. They will face death or something even worse. So can we have a bit of a cheer for Dave the Brave? Yay. Very quiet, kind of very quiet cheer, and a very quiet boo for our very brave and heroic back. He needs to stop smiling. No one will believe he's back. Right, so we've got this, we're now up to this fight. And so this was meant to be Scott, was meant to be the bad kid. But Ange isn't feeling very well today, so I'm afraid Matthew has had to become the bad. Okay, so we've got the fight, they have a big, terrible battle, and the bad king loses. So can the bad king just die? Can we just die on camera for everyone on Zoom? There we go. Right, brilliant. You guys have to, you've now finished. You've lost. I'm so sorry about that, Phil. But everyone is overjoyed. Okay, brilliant. Matthew, you're going to come sit down. Well, we can't take back that lead, Matthew. Thank you so much. You can keep the crown if you want. You don't have to. But what I want to ask is, what are the people who were lined up behind the good king thinking of this? They're not going, I always liked that king. I always thought he was a good king. They are cheering. They are overjoyed at how brilliantly their king has done. He may be, as the smoke clears from the battlefield, he may be limping. He may be, have all kinds of battle scars, but he has won. He is triumphant. He's rejoicing. And his people are rejoicing too. His happiness makes them happy. Now, what's that got to do with us? What's that got to do with us? Why does a song of a king winning a battle 3,000 years ago have anything to do with us? Well, the thing is that the Psalms of King David are not ultimately about King David at all. They are about his great descendants, God's greatest king, King Jesus, a king who, like David the Brave, is a happy king, a king who has won. And when he died and rose again, he won an amazing victory. God gave him a life that will last forever and ever. That's how this psalm can talk about a king who will never die. And his happiness means that Christians can be happy even when things are really tough, even when they're looking at sad things around them. Maybe David's people are living in a time of plague like coronavirus, and there are all kinds of things to worry about. But if their king had won, then fundamentally they were safe and they were okay. So if Jesus was scared in heaven today, well, we would take our lead from him, wouldn't we? We would need to feel scared and be chewing on our fingernails. He was sad. That sadness would flow down to us. He's won. Andrew is going to come and bring us the second half of our reading. And as we listen to it, I wonder if it sounds, does it sound as happy as the first half did? Let's listen to the second half.
Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. At the time of your appearing, you will make them like a fine furnace. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up, and his fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. For you will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with bow drawn. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know about you, but the second half of that psalm, it just sounds a bit angrier to me. It sounds a bit scarier. It doesn't sound quite as happy. The first half is about how happy the good king is because he's won. But the second half, well, this is the kind of thing people say makes them dislike the Old Testament. It's all about judgments on the king's enemies. Here's the thing. The message of the two halves of that psalm is exactly the same. If the king is going to win, his enemies have to lose. I don't know if we've heard the phrase zero-sum game before. It's from a branch of economics, particularly called game theory. And it's a kind of fancy way of saying there has to be a winner and a loser. And often people say that this isn't a zero-sum game. We can both get what we want. But some things are zero-sum games. So in the highly probable event that Stoke City win the premiership, that's in the final at some point in the next 10 years, well, another team is going to have to lose. It's a zero-sum game. And the same is true here. For David to win, his enemies, all that is evil, all that is wrong, are going to have to be destroyed. And we can hear how David says, your hand will lay hold on your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. The people are telling him that he's going to get his enemies by the scruff of the neck and they'll be destroyed. Which was a bit of a strange thing to say because David's enemies were never completely destroyed. They kept coming back again and again and caused all kinds of suffering to him and his people through the generations. When God's people sang this song in the Old Testament, we're scratching their heads going, what's all this about? And it's not until we read about King Jesus that this psalm makes sense, because he wins against all of his enemies forever. In the end, the devil will lose. Terrorists will lose. People who don't care about hurting women and children will lose. Even kind of disease, sickness, coronavirus, everything that harms life for people in this world will lose. And this is a really good time of year to remember that. I don't know, did anyone open an advent calendar this week? Anyone open an advent calendar this week? It's all right to admit it. It's the only time of year when it's socially acceptable to eat chocolate before breakfast. Brilliant, okay. Advent, brilliant, well done, guys. So advent is about looking forward to Jesus coming back. It's not first and foremost about Christmas. It's about getting ready to remember Jesus' first coming in Christmas by looking ahead to his second coming. And so we're going to light the Advent candle now to help us remember what the psalm says. Would anyone like to do that? Ben, do you want to come up? Right, brilliant. Then we've got even got a flamethrower for it. How cool is this? Right. We're going to set fire to something else, though. Because the Advent candles are there to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. But what does the light of the world do to his enemies? Verse 9, at the time of your appearing, you will make him like a fiery furnace. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up, and his fire will consume them. So if you've got exceptionally good eyesight at the back, you might be able to see that. If you are on Facebook, you can read mirror writing. You can read that says the king's enemies. What happens to the king's enemy? What is Jesus going to do? The light of the world is going to set fire to his enemies. Verse 5, at the time of your appearing, you will make them like a fiery furnace. I'm going to put that in there before something bad happens. There we go. Don't tell Adam Rice stuff, I'll say if you want to say that. What happened to God's enemies? They will be wiped out. Verse 11. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they can't succeed. But you will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with drawn bow. So as this song comes to an end, it leaves us with two choices. Each of us, boys and girls and grown-ups, there are only two choices. This is a zero-sum game. Do we want to be with King Jesus? Or do we want to stand there? And there are so many good reasons to trust Jesus. He is good. He is kind. He is wise. He is loving and patient. But this psalm gives us one reason above all, in this context, why we need to trust Jesus. And that is because he wins. And if we stand against him, we cannot. So the message of Advent, of every chocolate we take out of the Advent calendar, of every candle we light, is Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready, and we have to choose. Will we stand with Jesus? Will we choose to say no to him, to trust in our own cleverness, our own goodness, our own strength? Or the alternative is to look to Jesus, the happy king, whose victory makes his people happy. Amen.